We could make these a single hit one. Like, we could just be 5-minute podcasts today.
A bad idea.
See how people respond.
It might be a relief to everybody. You don't know.
I really like these, and I feel guilty. I must listen to these. Oh, they made it short?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, cloudy day. That's probably why there's like the, what was that old song that was like, blue skies smiling at me, and then it was like, but then it had the whole like, and then I think it had like a low bridge with gray clouds. Like, do I see? This is exactly what people tune in for. You and me singing a cappella. For sure. Yep. Well, hello everyone. Welcome to Mixed Messages with Jeff Bogue. My name is Joe Caruso. We're very glad you're here. We wish you were in this room with us. Like, it would be better if you were here. We should do another live recording.
Maybe not all of you at once in this room.
Well,
this room's pretty small.
This room is actually pretty small. If you're watching on YouTube, they do a great job with the background and stuff like this, but this room is probably 120 square feet. Like, it's pretty tiny.
Maybe.
Yeah.
And if you're watching on YouTube, you can tell I'm having microphone problems.
Yep, there. The little hydraulic joint in your microphone is saying,
if my mouth was where my forehead is, it would be perfectly positioned.
Can you tilt it?
Probably, but it won't say
that. But then the back end is covering. Yeah. Maybe that's your best side, Jeff. Yeah. All these years you've been saying I'm better in HD. Maybe you're better behind a microphone.
Now we're going to have to build a new building.
Maybe you have a face for radio.
Yeah.
Face for audio podcast.
I have a face for radio.
Well, we are glad you're here one way or the other. And with so many voices out there, whether they're the news, the social media, comedians, friends, it is tough to know what to think, how to make decisions. And we want to help you sort through all that noise and think through things in a way that allows us to cut through the mixed messages around us and find the way to Jesus. Jeff, we've actually had an onslaught of questions come in lately, which has been fantastic. And that's what we're getting into today. The first one here is someone that has... actually, they've been reading their Bible, which I hope most of our listeners, if not all of them, are doing. And it says, I've been reading in 1 Chronicles 12:32 that there were men who understood the times, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Could you give some insight into our times? Like, I don't mean this in a weird, mysterious way, but just kind of a practical way of things that we face specifically. We're recording this in the spring of 2026 and beyond. Thanks. Short question, but kind of big implications. So, Jeff, how do we kind of keep aware of what's going on around us in light of the things that God has asked us to do and he's promised that will come in the future?
Yeah, to keep yourself anchored to God's word and like your brain, so to say, engaged in current events, I think is actually what God calls his followers to do. Paul uses the term later on. He says you should be sober-minded because the days are short. And when you say, can I give an appraisal of the times today, it kind of would be like where to start. I'm looking something up here on my phone real quick, but Jesus was talking about this, and he talked about the end of time and what it would be like, that there would be wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, famine, all those kind of things. You could look at it through like the what's called eschatology, like the end of time. You could answer that question through like how are current events affecting people, like the price of gas and, you know, affordability and all that kind of stuff. So it kind of would depend on what direction you're going. So I was thinking about this question before I came in here, and I would say this, that there are certain things that are like consistent no matter what time it is. So consistently, sin harms people. Consistently, we have troubles, health, finances, you know, obstacles. Consistently, we have to work on relationships. You know, relationships break or they're strained or they need to be created, etc. So in some ways, I don't think any of that has to do with like current events, like the economy ebbs and flows, and, you know, maybe it's ebbing more than flowing right now, but that's actually not that unusual.
Right.
You know, inflation is very difficult for, I think, everybody right now, but it's not the first time that we've gone through inflationary cycles. So it's hard and even frustrating, but I'm not sure it's like unique to the times. So these men of Ishtar that the listener's talking about, they were kind of gauging stuff like that, but they were doing that more on like a nationalistic level. And so they would have been looking what we would call politics or geopolitics and where the nation is at, what our enemies are doing or not doing, what those pressures are. So I think like life can be hard is normal. I think what is actually being asked here is when you look at the news and you look at the headlines, what does that say about like where we are and how we interact with God? And that's where I was going to Jesus.
Yeah.
Where Jesus was like, yeah, near the end of time, you're going to hear of wars, rumors of wars. You're going to hear of earthquakes. You're going to hear of nation rising against nation, famines. And I'm like, when you turn on the news, you're watching Jesus's words play out like in high definition television. Mm-hmm. And the amount of conflict, the amount of global tension is elevated right now. And that's the kind of stuff that we're to pay attention to. And I would say on two levels. One is in a responsive way, like how do we pray? How do we love? How do we serve people mm-hmm. who are maybe affected by global tensions? People who are going through a famine, people who are in the midst of a drought, you know, what do we do with that? And then I think the second way is we think about that in terms or in light of Jesus's return.
Sure.
Are the things, the events that usher in or Jesus tells us to watch for with his return, are those things playing out in real time? And we just think of it as like Middle Eastern tension.
Sure.
Or we think of it as et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of what went through my mind. It's like, well, what direction we want to go with it? And on like what level do we want to have the conversation?
Yeah.
A little bit of all of the above, but.
Sure. I think that there's like these knee-jerk responses that a lot of us have where we almost end up avoiding everything you just said.
Yeah.
And so I like how you said like, oh, we can just kind of push that aside as that's just Middle Eastern tensions. And I don't think anybody puts it that laissez-faire, but we don't always think about that in light of like, oh, is this the kind of stuff that God was talking about that would usher in the end? Or certainly I don't think there's enough people that really put in the weight of like, there are families like running for their lives and like it's war. It's not just, there's some tension across the world. I also think that there's like, you know, that adage of like, I'm laughing because otherwise I'll cry.
Yeah.
I think that like sometimes we get into these like cyclical conversations or even like literal comedian spiels about, you know, well, the world's falling apart and we'll start laughing about it. And it's almost like this defense mechanism of like, yeah, things aren't going great. There is a lot of hatred. There is a lot of turmoil and tension across the world. And so can somebody tell a joke about it real quick? So yeah. I kind of feel better about everything. And so what would a, like, if we're just looking at life is really hard, like if we do kind of like level it out, like what is a godly response to the weightiness of the stuff that we're feeling all around us?
Yeah, that's part of what I was trying to divide up. Like it depends on why life is hard, right? And so like if life is hard because you got blown up financially, that happened to me when I was a kid and it made life hard.
Sure.
If life is hard because you're fighting a cancer, you know, then life is hard. If life is hard because you're undergoing persecution, so you know, one of the things that's pretty simple to see is that culturally we fall further and further away from Christ, and even what we think of as a return to Christ, we're not back to point zero. Mm-hmm. You know, we fall further and further away. So I'm like, that is normal and that is hard. In those circumstances, our response is to endure persecution. To long suffer, to be patient in trials, to remember that these are light and momentary struggles for us, to remember God is our provider, God is our defender. And so the word of God would shape us and shape our response by all those things. that usually, life is hard. The statement life is hard is usually defined by the person who said the phrase.
Sure.
So, you know, I got very stressed out the other day because I was running late, you know? And then I spent time with a dear young woman who's dying of cancer yesterday. Mm. And I'm like, well, that puts life in perspective, right? So God forming me yielding to God's word, me being shaped is my response to all those things. If you kick it up a notch, so to say, and we're talking about is eschatology playing out in front of us, it's not coincidental that the hottest part of the planet is the part, which is the Middle East, is where Jesus is going to first return.
Mm-hmm.
And where a lot of end times and eschatology plays out. Like, I would say to you, like, that's where it's like, you know, the Middle East. I'm like, I wouldn't do that.
Right.
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 Well, that elicits a different response in me. So that's not fear. That's not preparation. What that does, when I see that Christ's return might be soon, that fires a urgency in me to reach the lost, to proclaim the gospel louder and all those kind of things. So when I survey the world, kind of the question, I try to understand times, I understand that there's a normalcy. I understand that there's things happening in my world that's cultural. This is timeless and universal. I understand there's a personal hardship.
Yep.
You know, or difficulty. And then I understand that there's like spiritual forces that are doing battle around me. And the word of God and the truth of God forms my response and my definitions to all those things.
Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. What you have me thinking of, so my daughter's 11 years old, and we've been recently finally getting into the Marvel Cinematic Universe together. So obviously when all this was...
This is your response to troubled times.
It is. I'm getting there, I promise.
All right, I'm dying to hear this.
So I just watch movies. When the world's blowing up, it's like...
we check out.
My son, yeah.
I taught my daughter to ignore it all. Look, here's a flying ant, honey.
So we recently started watching, and just this last weekend, we actually watched an Infinity War.
Ooh.
So in her mind, everything's falling apart. If you know this Marvel, Infinity War ends and it looks like the universe has imploded.
Yeah,
right.
It's defeatism.
Well, I know the end.
Yeah.
I know what happens in the next two movies where they introduce a couple more characters, and then I know how the movie Endgame plays out and how it all gets fixed and there's heroes and, you know, everybody that was lost comes back. Like, I know this is going to end in a good place. And so I'm not watching this. Like, I'm kind of watching it with some dramatic stress, but I'm not flipping out about it because I understand what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And all these things that Jeff is saying, like, it almost sounds Christian cliche, but it's not. It's like when you can remind yourself that God is our defender and he's our protector and that he has all this figured out and that he is the victor and that et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that eschatology, no matter... how the rest of the Christian world sees that playing out, we all end on Jesus comes back, Jesus is in control, and it's all going to be right. In God's, like, when you can really lock your mind into relationally trusting that God has it, that's a much different way to participate and watch everything unfold in front of us than white knuckled, like, what's about to happen.
Yeah, the Apostle Peter says something so good. He says, stop acting like something unusual has happened to you.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So one of the things that's unique in our culture is we think if things aren't going great, they're going horribly. And I think the Bible would teach us that when things aren't going great, they're just going normal.
Yeah, right.
Like, great is an interruption. I think hyper-tragic is an interruption. You know, that's not normal. Like, when I'm with this young woman... yesterday, I think it's normal for someone in her early 30s to be dying of a cancer, right? It's horrible. But, like, I had a tough time at work. I didn't make the football team. The car broke, and I don't have the money to fix it right now. Like, those are normal things. It doesn't mean that God doesn't care about them. It just means, like, that is not something unique happening in a time and space that you have to observe in a unique way.
Mm-hmm.
the world congregating around the nation of Israel is new.
Sure. Yep.
The ability for humanity to destroy itself with nuclear weapons is in the last 100 years. Like, it's new, especially in human history. It's new. We saw this, you know, with the ability for us to manufacture nerve gas or a virus or whatever and like destroy people. That's in the last 100 years. Like, that's a new thing. So understanding that those are like signs of the times or something that has shifted, I want to be very, very aware of that. And I want to understand it. I want to find rest in Jesus' return and wisdom as I go through the stuff. The ups and downs of life, I want to rest in God's spirit and God's provision, and I want to keep it in perspective. It's what the scripture calls light and momentary.
Yeah.
And like, I was really grateful yesterday. I was stressed, and I'm such a I have a vision. I know this sounds weird, but I have a vision every day of how my day is going to play out. It's just the way that I'm wired. I map it almost by the minute. And so when that gets thrown off, it's where I will get frustrated about something. So that got thrown off yesterday. Me spending time with that young woman who's dying puts all that in perspective. I'm like, it does not matter if I didn't get all of the lawn mowed. I mean, get a grip. There's a family over here that's dealing with real things.
Yep.
And I just wanted to mow before it rained. And I got the backyard done.
Right.
You know? So I think that's part of what the scripture is saying. Jesus is like, when you see these things, they're legit, they're real. When you're being persecuted, when you're being abused and abandoned, that's legit, that's real. When somebody doesn't like you because you like Jesus, Peter's like, yeah, that's pretty normal. that's what it looks like. Doesn't mean it's not hard, but it's like, keep it in perspective and read the times correctly, approach things with sobriety, and then godliness in all of it when you're measuring it out.
Yeah, I think I have a different way of kind of going about some of the, like you say, you like map out your day. I'm all about like those framings in my mind. Like, as long as I can see things through a different lens, I think that's one of the things my relationship with God helps me with the most. Another mentor of mine one time told me, he was like, do you remember that we live in a cursed world?
Yeah.
Like, it is completely marred by all of our sin and the complication of 8 billion people's sin plus all of human history's sin. We live in a cursed world. He says, so anything good is God's grace.
Yep.
Like, we tend to flip that script. Like, oh, I live in a good world. Why did these bad things happen? He's like, no, we live in a spiritual war zone. Wasn't it kind of God to give you some respite now and then?
Yeah.
You know, and it just, it really helps, at least my personal sanity, to go like, oh, I had a really tough day, because it's a normal day.
Yeah.
Versus like the other day, it's like, man, today was kind of actually really nice. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for like a moment to take a breath and, you know, all those kind of things. And it is just the reframing, the understanding of the times. Like, it's just important that we're looking at God's truth of what's happening, not just our interpretation of it.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate our listener writing in these ways, and I appreciate that he's diving into the scripture and trying to figure those things out. I hope his listeners were all trying to do versions of that. So if you have questions like that you'd like us to tackle, you can head over to bath.gracechurches.org/mixed messages and send them our way. And we'd love to help you navigate those in this podcast and beyond, so we can get you connected to other resources. Don't be a stranger. Let us know. We'd love to help. If you're enjoying the podcast, make sure you subscribe, follow, rate, and review to help others find it too. And of course, we'd love to see you here at Grace this weekend, whether in person or even if you're checking things out online for the first time, that is awesome as well. Thanks so much for jumping in with us today as we continue to seek God's voice through all the mixed messages around us. See you next time.